Oh, hey, Natalie.
Hi, Kristen.
I don't know what you're doing, but I thought it might be fun to do a little, like, podcast.
Do you know what? Whatever I'm doing, I always want to be doing a podcast while I'm doing it. So we might as well do it.
That's podcast life.
Hi.
Hey there.
It's so good to see you.
It's great to see you as well.
Especially because this podcast, we're talking about abundance, and I feel like being here with you, I already feel so abundant.
That's how I feel when I'm with you. So last night we talked about the easy way to make money.
Right. I know. It was a fascinating topic because you could feel that everyone was really excited. Like, ooh, I want to know that making money could be easy and it could feel easy. But then you could also feel a lot of like, well, maybe it's easy for someone else. I don't know if it's easy for me. Yeah. I don't know. I wanna believe this. I don't know. So it was a really interesting conversation to have, actually.
Well, and it's so funny. I feel like most people think of money as such a tangible thing.
Yes.
Right? Such a thing in the world of property.
Yeah.
And in the world of form, that for most of us, it doesn't seem like our beliefs have anything to do with money.
Yes.
And something that you and I talk about a lot when we do our prosperity class is that really money is just an energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've given a symbol to it. We've created this emblem of dollars or whatever. And that is only symbolizing this energy of prosperity and abundance.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we talk about conditioning so often, when you and I go deep with people, like in our long prosperity class, when we go deep into people's money story, we see how much it's equal to people's self-worth.
Yeah.
Right? And their idea of deservingness and what they had modeled from them, from both parents, about beliefs and habits around money.
Yeah. And specifically, I think a lot of people in our community were talking about being children of parents who grew up understanding things like the Great Depression and understanding times, even whether it was them personally or through their own parents and families, generations of stories of struggle, stories of that you have to work hard to get ahead, stories of there's not enough for everyone. And it almost felt like every person has a story where lack showed up.
Right.
And very few people necessarily had a story where prosperity just felt present and easy. There's very few stories of like, oh, we just always had more than enough money and everyone felt there was enough to give and
we had a really healthy relationship with money. There was always enough.
Yes.
That's exactly right. And you know, we talk so often about like everything is an inner game and that the outer world is only reflecting back what's going on the inner. And I think sometimes for people, like, they're like, okay, I can get that about love. I can understand that love is always inside of me and that the love I see in my life is a reflection of what I give. And I understand that about peace. I can feel how peace is always inside of me and it never runs out. But then playing with the idea of prosperity and abundance is in you. It's an energetic thing that can never run out and that you are always connected to inexhaustible supply that is ever present. And for a lot of people, that's a brand new idea to touch.
Yes.
That they themselves are prosperity. Mm. It's in them. It's somewhere they can connect with. And it's inside of them, and it's also all around them, right?
Yes.
It's actually the energy of spirit.
Yes. And it's so interesting because one of the things yoga talks about is that the thing that causes us to suffer is identifying ourselves as form, as opposed to identifying ourselves as formless. So naturally, we will then suffer anytime we identify ourselves with anything that form is. If we identify ourselves as how many dollars we have in our bank account, we are in suffering, even if you have a lot of them.
Ooh.
If you identify yourself based on the person that you are with in a relationship, you're in suffering. As opposed to, so that's why it's so interesting for people to say, well, I can understand that love is inside of me, or I am a being of love, but there is not dollar bills inside of me. But here's the thing. Yes, you are the beingness of love. The relationship you are in is an expression in form of the love that you are being.
That's right.
So the money, the dollar bills in your bank account is only ever going to be an expression of the wealth consciousness that you are being.
And so that's really the easy way to make money is about spending time in your wealth consciousness. And if you've never developed a relationship with your consciousness of your own internal wealth, it's a really good place to start.
Mm.
before you even see the demonstration in the outer world, right? Yes. It's and I think that the fastest and the easiest way to make money is, as we talk about, doing that internal work that you do, whether it's in your morning practice or an evening practice, where you go inside and you start to feel and explore and play with the places inside of you that is abundant, yeah. that is ever-present wealth. And once you start to create a relationship with that, then you start to recognize it's always all around you. You know, Michael Beckwith has been saying, and I know you and I have been talking about this quote a lot, is everything is always all around you. The only thing that ever needs to change is your faith so that you can actually perceive that it is there.
Mm. I love that. The idea that our faith sort of determines like the lens that we see the world through, right?
Right?
So the bigger the faith, it's like the wider the picture gets. So we can actually see that more is actually available in this present moment. And it's almost like the trick of the mind, we talk about the ego a lot, but the trick is really to just always focus on the thing that feels in lack and feels not working. The inner game is being able to identify what's always perfect and working and full and abundant at any given moment. So it's like when we have a sore elbow, all our consciousness can focus on is how sore our elbow is. It goes straight to the problem. So it's like if we have lack in our bank account, it's like all consciousness can do is think about that sore elbow, uh-huh. that lack of money. But what happens is we spend so much time focusing on the sore elbow, we forget that our fingers feel amazing. We forget that our cheeks are perfect. We forget that our heart is beating, our blood is pumping, our legs are amazing. We forget that like 99.99999% of everything is perfection.
Yeah, it's all working.
And there's one little thing that's that little kind of distraction. So in our wealth consciousness, it's like, how can we stop allowing ourselves to be distracted by the one little place that it might look like there's lack? And how can we focus on where there is health and abundance and love and joy already? And they can exist at the same time. You can have at the same time a sore elbow and a healthy finger. So you can have at the same time, oh, I'm having these thoughts, I'm having these feelings of not enoughness, but at the same time, you can make a different choice. And then over time, that consciousness around the new choice will create new patterns that will then make the sore elbow look like yesterday's news.
Yes. You know, it's like Michael Beckwith will talk about that as energetic shape-shifting.
Yes, I love
so,
that.
That when you have the hurt finger, you go to the part of the body that is in perfect health, you feel that energetically and bring that energy into the place that is hurting.
Yeah.
And that you can do that with your relationships. Mm. You can do that with your bank account. When we started working on this lecture, I pulled off Charles Fillmore's book, Prosperity. And there's a lot of prosperity books that I dig on. But one of the things that he talks about so much is realizing that we are one with the divine substance,
yeah.
right? And once we realize that we're one with it, we cannot be separate from it.
Yes.
So like the Course in Miracles will tell us, the only thing that we ever need to correct is the idea that we're separate, right?
Mm.
This is a great quote he has. Every one of us can strengthen his or her hold on the thought of divine substance until it becomes a powerful idea, filling the consciousness and manifesting itself as plenty in all of our affairs.
Mm.
So even playing with, all right, here I have a need, or here I have a desire or a want, I become so curious how divine substance can't wait to rush in to fill that.
Mm.
And I know that I wouldn't have this need or want unless it was because life was calling for it. If it was going to call for it, it's going to fund it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So just like I'll do with a show, right? So here's this musical that I want to make. I'm going to walk in the direction and intend that everything is going to come into alignment for this to occur. I don't know where it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm just going to keep moving in that direction. And as I continue to move in that direction, everything that's needed for the fulfillment of that idea comes into play.
Yes.
Right? And Florence Scovel Shinn used to talk about it as digging ditches.
Mm-hmm.
So she would say, start the actions that show the universe that you have faith that this demonstration is coming through.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I feel like that's why you and I both practice tithing
yes.
And really believe in that practice, because that is saying that, like, I have faith that there's an unlimited source and supply in my life, that I know I can take and put money where I feel spiritually fed, because I know that the supply is ever coming and going.
Yeah.
It's like there's this great quote in the Upanishads that says, out of abundance, he took abundance, and still abundance remains. It's that idea that we feel guilty when we take money, when we feel like there's only a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
But if we knew that there was an unlimited supply, we would never feel badly for taking. And we would know that the taking of it is always from a place of, like, what we want to offer the world with what that money is for.
Right. I love that saying of, you can't outgive God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there, I think all of us are generous by nature.
Yeah.
And if we really believed that in no scarcity, if
yes.
we really didn't believe in lack, it would be so, like, awesome to, like, you know, hand the person that asked for $1 a dollar,
yes.
buy the person a cup of coffee who wants to buy a coffee. It's like, I got plenty.
Yes.
The universe can't wait to give it to me.
It's like the only reason that we hoard or mm-hmm. Have ill relationship with money is because we think there's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to give someone else what we have. Like, we want to keep it so tight. But if we really believed and were in the consciousness of, like, oh, not only is there wealth in the world, I am wealth.
I am wealth.
I am the wealth in the world. I generate wealth. I make money because I am the machine that comes through. I am the spirit that energy exists in. So as long as I'm in the room, there's never lack.
There's never lack. I mean, that was one of the magical things about doing Rock of Ages, was watching that through this, how many people got to create income in their own lives,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So to be a part of, like, oh, all I ever have to do is do my job.
Yes.
And through it, I actually become a vessel through which other people
yes.
have prosperity and abundance.
And that's one of the ways that we were talking in our group about, like, one way to be wealth consciousness now is just find ways to be wealth in the world.
Yes.
Find ways to give it away. Find the dollar that you can spare to give to someone. I talked about going and buying those $1 scratch tickets and just putting them underneath someone's windshield wiper of their car. So it's like all of a sudden that person out of nowhere gets this money surprise,
yeah.
even if it's just in the form of a dollar, but there's this energetic shift that you have created in the world. And so then you are saying to cosmic consciousness, to your divine, like, I am a source where change and abundance and manifestation can come through.
Yes, it's almost like if you ever feel like you're lacking anything in your life, then look to be the cause of it. Look to be
yes.
the channel through which it comes. So you can do this with love. Like, if you feel like your love life is not happening, you'd be like, I'm going to be the channel of love. I'm going to put
mm-hmm.
so much love, and I'm going to put so much, like, adoration and into the world that, like, I'm the channel through which it comes through.
Yes.
I don't even need it to come to me because I keep giving it away.
Yes.
And you can do the same thing with wealth.
Yeah.
Be like, I am the channel through which wealth comes through into the world. And that activates, the giving activates the receiving. There's something to be said, though, about receiving is one of the things I think we have to train ourselves is that we are totally worthy and deserving of receiving, and we don't actually have to do anything to earn
yes.
the ability to receive.
Yes.
That the universe is always giving, and as we notice that the universe is always giving, it opens us up to be a bigger and bigger channel of receiving. So Charles Fillmore talks about, like, part of blessing the food that you have is just noticing the prosperity that's in your life,
mm-hmm.
blessing your clothes, like noticing all the beautiful garments you have to wear, blessing your friendships, blessing. So you're constantly in a state of blessing all of the good that is constantly being given. It's all divine substance,
yes.
right? And in that same way, it allows you, like, that what you focus on expands to receive more. And something that occurs to me, and I talked about this a little bit last night, is if we came to this planet to do really big, amazing projects for the planet, then doesn't spirit want us to grow our faith
mm-hmm.
so that we can hold the biggest vision of what's possible? I was listening to this podcast, I'm really into, like, rituals podcast right now, and he had this guy, Adam Braun, who's built over 400 schools.
Wow.
In, like, developing countries.
Mm.
Like, talk about the faith and the ability to hold that is possible. possible.
Yeah.
And to be the vessel of abundance in order to do that in the world. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes the universe will start with something small.
Yeah.
And say, okay, we're going to do a short film. Yes. And it's scary. And you're going to raise $3,000. And it's frightening. And like all these things. And as you take on these projects and watch how the universe can't wait to fill them, like Corey from our community was talking about how he wanted to do this film. And his goal was to raise $10,000. And he raised $30,000. Mm-hmm. Of course, his mind previously could have never conceived that that was possible.
And if the goal was $30,000, his ego would have convinced him not even to take the first step because that would have never been possible.
Right, too big, too much. Too big. Yeah.
Too much to ask for. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's that we know, if we go deep down inside, we know what our dreams are. And we know that we are here to make them come true. And really deep down, we know that it's all possible. That's why we're here. We get very, very scared to start executing on it because then we have to declare it outside of our own skin. And I think that's where we get really scared and we get worried we're going to take up too much space, that we're going to take too much money, that we're going to hurt someone else if we take up that space. If we take this money, it means someone else doesn't have it. But what we have to understand is through the artistic things and the pleasure and the life that we live, we are empowering the world to know what's possible. We are showing other people how that they can step into that consciousness in their own life. And once everybody steps in that consciousness, it's like the source and supply grows to the level of faith of the cosmic consciousness as well.
Mic drop. Woo!
Just came in.
Natalie Roy, I love it when you channel. That was deep. That was deep, my darling.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I do think that's like a rad world, right? It's like the world only has so many dollar bills and there's a consequence to making more and et cetera and et cetera. But it's like, oh, no. But we have a cosmic source and supply that is just waiting. It's unlimited.
Can't run out.
Our consciousness only believes it is so big.
Can't run out.
But if we all start to take a stand for what we think is impossible, and it becomes possible, and then it creates a ripple effect, and then everyone's doing what they thought was impossible, then the whole paradigm of what's possible in the universe changes.
That's right. And in fact, it's like, let's dare ourselves to expand what we even thought was possible to receive, right? And so, and if we think of money being an emblem for spiritual energy, can we allow ourselves to receive more?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And see it as this kind of like this wheel that never stops moving, that as we receive it, we also allow it to go.
Yes.
And you got this great quote that Eric Lieberman put on Facebook.
Eric, we love you.
We love Eric. I guess this is the what he wrote on his Facebook wall. A great measure of our spiritual health is our financial health, how much we share our gifts, and how deeply we allow ourselves to receive.
Sharing our gifts with the world is allowing someone else to practice their art of receiving.
Ooh.
And when we are not receiving, then we are hindering someone else from giving their gifts. And this is a reciprocal universe, and we cannot have one without the other. So we have to demonstrate active, loving receiving so that we can also be that beautiful bestower of gifts in the world that we were born to be. It's a very interesting thing, even in breathing practice and pranayama. Oftentimes, teachers will ask you to lengthen your inhale or lengthen your exhale. Some people have a much easier time lengthening their inhale than their exhale or vice versa. And it's directly associated with giving and receiving. The in-breath, the inhale, is about your capacity to receive. So some people have like a really easy time. Like, I can fill myself up. I can feel really good receiving. And then somehow the exhale always feels shorter or not as deep or not as fluid. And they're rushing to get to the next breath right away. And that hints to you can have an easy time receiving, but you actually have a hard time letting go. That when you do receive something, you just want to hold on to it because maybe you're scared that that next breath or that next gift or that next paycheck isn't coming. Alternately, someone who has a difficult time with the out breath or who has an easy time with the out breath it's like there's an ease with letting things go. Okay, it's okay, I can let that go. But then they have a really difficult time actually holding on to what they receive. It's almost like someone who you get something and then you think you don't deserve it and you give it away.
Right.
You know, so we all get that opportunity. You know, whether tomorrow morning in your morning practice you want to try this pranayama and see where your body thinks you are, it might be different than where your mind tells you you are. And that's an interesting thing to notice, because I think part of the way the ego wants to trick us out of our bigness is to just find ways to keep us confused.
Yes.
So it might be that our body is giving us one message, like, oh, no, you're an amazing receiver, but the mind is still telling you the story of how uncomfortable you are receiving. And you can actually know that physiologically that's not true about you. That would just be an interesting thing to play with.
Yeah, and I feel like that's exactly what the message is about this, is start to spend time in your relationship with divine substance.
Yeah.
So whether you're doing it through pranayama breathing, mm-hmm. or you're doing it through meditation, or there's so many wonderful teachers of prosperity, Edwin Gaines, Catherine Ponder, Charles Fillmore, and spending time developing that kind of relationship. There's this great quote that I love that Charles Fillmore says. It says, most of us rush around trying to work out a problem for ourselves in our own way, with one idea, one vision, the material thing we seek. We need to devote more time to silent meditation and, like the lilies of the field, simply be patient and grow into our demonstrations.
Mm.
That it's like the real change comes from being still. And I know that when I was growing in my own prosperity consciousness, that I had been so raised on ideas of lack, and you know that almost adrenaline shot that you get when you're in lack and you're in that kind of fight or flight mode, yeah. of like, ah. And I had to be conscious as I was doing my prosperity work and really growing those muscles of, in this moment, all my needs are met.
Yes.
In this very moment. So let me practice being present. So if rent is due on Friday, today is Monday,
yeah.
and today all my needs are met. And let me be conscious one moment at the time, at a time, and then open up and ask Spirit, ask the universe, show me what I'm supposed to do. What are the steps that I am supposed to take? Show me how to receive what I know you're trying to give me.
Yes.
And then I will really listen, and I promise that if you communicate with me, I will execute on it. And that became this new relationship that I started building with, I know you're ever present.
Yes.
I know you're always trying to give to me. Show me how to listen better so that I can execute on what it is you really want me to give.
Yes. And I think that that's the training. I think that prosperity training, wealth consciousness is about, I know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes don't see it, but I know it's there. And so instead of us being the people who have to believe, like have to see something to believe it, can we be the people that believe it and so we see it?
Yes.
Because we believe. Because we believe that we live in a loving universe. We believe that our outer world is only a reflection of our own illusion, not the illusion of the world, because, you know, it's like, in cosmic consciousness, in divine energy, in universal law, there is no illusion. There's just truth. And truth doesn't need to defend itself to us. So truth is just hanging out being truth and being like, well, they can get it if they want. I'm just doing what I do. And it's like the moment that we say, okay, I'm willing to believe. I'm just willing to show up and believe the money is here. Show me. Yeah. Show me something I haven't seen before. You know, show me, I know that there's so many prosperity stories we tell about, you know, a person needed money for a certain thing and they kept thinking it was going to come from one source and that one source didn't pan out. And then all of a sudden they get this instinct to go visit such and such person.
And it came through that channel.
And it came through that weird place that they could have never anticipated. And all of those things, I believe, are always happening to us to build our faith.
100%.
It's not a trick. It's not trying to make it hard on us. It's just saying, well, if you had faith, we wouldn't have to go through all this.
Right. Like baby girl, I am here trying to support
yes.
you. Listen to me.
Yes.
Listen to me. I've had more stories than I could tell. In just in financial ways of like having a need and having it come in at the last minute, like to the penny of when I needed.
Yeah.
And had it happen so many times that I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You're always going to take care of me. And what I have found is the more committed I am to doing my dharma, the more committed I am to doing my purpose on the planet, the stronger my faith gets in that the universe is always then going to fund everything that I need and even desire and want.
Yes.
To do my dharma.
Yes. And I think that that's a really important thing. We ask for what we think we deserve. And I think the message of the universe is always, oh, you deserve so much more than you ask for.
Yes.
Like, if you were just willing to open yourself up to how much you are loved, you would have the entire kingdom.
That is it. That's the message. Mm. You can have it all. I'm trying to give it to you.
Mm.
Baby, I'm trying to give it to you. Just open, just open, just open, just listen, just trust. Know that it's always already here within you.
And even if you're listening to this right now and you feel resistance to that, know that the resistance is because you're knocking on the door of truth. Know that if you feel, oh, well, that feels airy-fairy, that just feels like spiritual, whatever. Like, know that if you have any kind of attitude or judgment about that, it is because the truth is knocking at you and your ego really doesn't want you to get it because it wants you to stay small.
Sweet baby ego.
Oh, it's always knocking at us. Silly baby.
There's this prosperity book called A Happy Pocket Full of Money by David Cameron. Here, I'm going to try his last name.
Do it.
Jikandi?
Jikandi sounds Jikandi? Good.
Jikandi?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Sorry,
so,
David.
Sorry, David. We love you. And one of the quotes from his book is, wealth consciousness is simply the expansion of your consciousness and awareness into the wealthy parts of yourself.
Mm.
Already there, already inside. And a fun exercise that we did last night is we turned to the person next to us and we said, I'm money.
And the person said, you are money.
And I think that's like a fun way to even like start your day is like looking in the mirror and being like, I'm money.
I'm so much money.
I'm all the money.
And I look rich.
I'm so rich. I'm so rich. I'm going to buy myself something. And it's so funny just like, but even playing around with that, you start to notice you get this inner joy inside, this inner glee inside, and it feels so good and it feels so light and it feels so activated. And it feels that way because it's the truth of who we are.
Yes, yes.
You know?
When we get closer to the truth, it creates more energy in us. It's like we have more prana, more life force.
Yeah.
When we get further from the truth is when we feel our energy is depleted.
Yes.
And we know this in relationships. You know when you're in a relationship that isn't in alignment with who you're meant to be and you just feel drained from that relationship. And you're giving so much and you're not feeling filled by it. And then you can walk into another relationship and be like, it's just so easy. I'm not doing anything. But all of a sudden, I feel this excitement, this movement, this energy in my body. So it's like our own energetic body is always trying to show us how wealthy and abundant and prosperous and loved and light and exciting we are. And it's really up to us to just say, so then I get to be responsible to those beautiful places in me to say, I'm going to let you play in the biggest way I know how to let you play. And I'm not going to put you in little boxes that are going to make you feel small and sick and weak and not enough.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, that's all we want to do.
That's it.
That's all we want to do. We just want to play and have a great time and know that we're worth it. And we don't have to, like you said, we don't have to earn it. We're born deserving.
We're born deserving.
Mm-hmm.
And that the universe wants us to be in a place where we know we have it all.
Mm-hmm.
And as if we can all, like, rise, you know. It's interesting, we talked a little bit last night about, like, just, you know, the paradigm of, like, big corporations. And, like, a lot of what's going on in our country right now is that there are big corporations who have made their money through hoarding.
Yeah.
And through and then have made laws that help that hoarding process continue.
Yeah.
Right? And part of, I think, this kind of like paradigm shift that's occurring right now on the planet is for all of us to kind of reconnect to our own internal power and then say, I so much believe in abundance and believe in abundance for all that I will act that way on the planet so that, if you can imagine if all of us started to become the most abundant version of ourselves.
Yes.
It's the best thing that could ever happen to the planet.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The more that we can give abundance into the world and receive more, I love it when I've heard spiritual teachers talk about abundance is like the ocean, and the ocean doesn't care if you bring a thimble to it or if you, like, back up a huge truck and, like, fill it up. Like, it just can't run out, right? It
can't run out.
So that our job is to say, I am ready and willing and brave enough to be the most abundant version of myself. Now show me how.
The thing the world needs is the conscious, the empathetic, the compassionate, the loving, the cooperative to be holding the keys to the prosperity and abundance of the planet. And it is our job to take a stand for it individually so we can take a stand for it collectively.
That's right. We're going to take a stand for it together as a community.
And we're also rich.
Woo! Hey, guess what? Listening to this podcast. You're so money.
You are so money.
Oh, wealth looks hot on you.
Oh, yeah. Wealth is lucky to spend time with you.
Wealth is seeking you right now. Wealth is courting you. Wealth is showing you all the ways it just wants to love you up. And now all you got to do is notice and then let that flow happen. Let the in come and the out go, and know that you are always divinely supported.
And have the most fun walking around the world being wealth, being money, being riches, being prosperity and abundance and love every single place you go, and watch how it manifests so beautifully everywhere you look.
All right. We know what our job is.
We're going to go out and make some money. Woo! We love you all. Thank you for listening. Come check out the Create Community Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter, the Create Play Group, and we will talk to you guys later.
Woohoo! If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!